Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges. September 11th, 2009, the Norris Group hosted I Survived Real Estate 2009. In this critical final quarter, the Norris Group assembled a Gold Star panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event supported the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the Business Press, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshops and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronsgeist, Invest Club for Women, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for the website iSurvive2009.com, JK Short Sale, Entrust California and Hugh Broma, the Nixon Library, NVT Productions, the National Flip and Fix Network, and White House Catering. Visit iSurvive2009.com for information.
What happened to the decision of the buyer to look at the marketplace and say, I've seen all the vacant houses that are listed for 75 and I will buy this fixed one for 135. The system is trumping that decision as if he has no clue what they're doing. This is near and dear to everybody's heart here. We typically have been buying properties, and I'll give you a real example just to show you how silly this is getting. We bought a property in Moreno Valley for 50 grand, fixed it with 35. Okay, it needed it because it didn't have a kitchen and a bathroom. And so we went to sell it, and we got six offers inside of 48 hours for 120 to 122. To me, that states market value. There was a buyer times six looking at the entire inventory saying, this is better deal than anything else at 120 or 122 and superior to something on the street that's 75 that doesn't have a kitchen. The appraisal comes in at 102. The review appraisal comes in at 85. At 85, we're not rewarded for the effort, so we no longer make the effort in Moreno Valley to buy and sell a property. And here's the ramifications of that. We could have had a 120 comp for the whole neighborhood to enjoy. Now they have a 50 grand comp to look at because they didn't allow the buyer's decision to say that's true market value, which is in the definition of the form. It's getting trumped by somebody else. And what they've said is, and by the way, we've said, okay, we'll just keep it. We rented it for $1,150. The payment at 85 at 5% would have been 600 with tax benefits under 500. The appraisal world, and I'm not picking now, I'm just saying the way it's gotten right now is that owning a house is being topped out at half of rental value. Ridiculous.
Bruce, I must point out, we can end this right now. If he'd hired us to begin with, he would have brought $130,000. He would have closed the week after. Everything that you say would have now come true, and the world would be wonderful.
Except for they got to get an appraisal if they're going
to
get a loan. That's the problem. Oh, okay, here we go.
No. When we sell a house,
yes,
it is not contingent on financing.
Well, the buyer.
So the buyer has to know how they're going to get. That doesn't mean they're bought for cash by any means. In fact, most of the homes we sell are financed. But the gentleman doing the buying already knows exactly what they qualify for. They already know how they can make it all happen. So. Oh, wait. Pat asked a wonderful question. How can they get an appraisal? You realize that in my entire life, I've never had an appraiser dispute what the house brought at auction. That's the truth. I have, and that's based on, I don't even have any idea. Tens of thousands of homes.
Can I have my appraisers call you directly? You're better at. I'm only kidding.
Yes, so it's a very interesting question, but it seems to me, and I don't know the mortgage industries, but let me just toss this out here. The problem is the banks worry about the appraisals. because for all you know, your buyer's dumb. And if
there were six buyers that were dumb,
they're all
within
dumb.
48
all,
hours.
They're all dumb, and the banker's smart, and that's all they care about, right? But the point I'm trying to make is this. What if we allowed a system where you had recourse mortgages again? I mean, you can buy this house for what was greater than the appraisal as long as you sign this little secondary note that says that if you go bankrupt, we can go after your other assets.
Christopher, you're talking to me. You're saying that by saying that, you're saying the appraisal system is correct and the buyer is wrong. And that you've got to respect the buyer's decision more than that. That, as a matter of fact, if that's not going to be part
get it out of the appraisal.
Bruce, it says
no,
that.
No one knows you had six offers, all right? There's one offer that you accepted, and the appraisal came in at less than that offer. And that's what the bank sees.
No,
right?
they saw
and what
they had
said,
six,
but again, remember, the bank is worried that if your buyer can't pay his mortgage,
which is half of rent,
whatever, they turn around and they can only sell for $85,000, and that puts them in a lost position. Again, if the buyer could sign a secondary note that says we are willing to make this a full recourse loan, it shouldn't make a difference. Am I right on that? But if it's a recourse loan, if you sell it for less, you still have recourse to go after other assets, right, in their portfolio.
I want to ask the builder, John. We didn't mean to pass you over, but
it's fine. I'm listening. I'm a good listener.
Okay.
Especially to Chris.
When you have the competition of REO inventory in the markets right now, the sale price is typically what percentage of your cost, would you say? So in Riverside, you know, you're seeing a lot of properties. Well, Moreno Valley, we can't get $80 or $90 a foot at retail for the product. What would it cost you to replace that, including? Let's say you didn't look at a building lot. You looked at a hill and turned it into a building lot and had to put in a cul-de-sac. What are your costs that get to that house? What square foot price are you when you're all done, if you will?
Well, the sticks and bricks are about $50 a square foot.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't include the land or the fees or the actual improvement of the lot. So that I hope that helps in the answer. But I could give you an example. In Fontana, where I build, and we built for a long time, so we've been in this market for about 20 years. We have built homes in the last 5 years are now repos. So that, now we really tried as a company, and I'm talking about personally our company, to sell to owner-occupied people that had good FICO scores. We dealt with Wells Fargo, and at that time they were very nervous about this Alt-A and subprime loan, so most of those people did not go into foreclosure. Now, not on the general market. Our competitors were not as, I guess, holistic as we were and thought about that. They would sell to anybody mostly, investors, people that were not occupied. But so what's happened in our market, and it's similar in throughout the Inland Empire because we've had a lot of product there. We're similar to the Las Vegas market and the Phoenix market. Is that to sell a house, and I'm going to get to the answer to your question, Bruce, we have to really drop the price. I mean, Chris talked about, well, you're going to get this $8,000 federal credit, and that is a credit. Even if you didn't pay any income tax federally, you get that $8,000. Now, the state's a little different. You only get the credit up to the tax that you had paid. So, for example, you paid zero tax in the state, you didn't get any credit. And most of those credits run about $5,000 to $6,000, and they're divided by 3 years. And that's what the state credit was. It's divided by 3 years. So it wasn't quite a hit to the state coffers. But anyway, we have to lower our prices enough to induce buyers that are willing, ready, and able to buy a home that is very competitive to the foreclosures in our market. Now, how we get away with that, meaning because our homes are more expensive than the foreclosures, and I think that's where you were going,
right,
is that we can show the value difference on the foreclosure that will take this $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to refurbish. So that's how we're still able to compete in our market. Now, to get back to Chris, the market, the volume, we aren't building 216,000 or 225,000. And that mantra has been with the BIA for many years. I don't know if I buy into that. It's the company logo kind of thing. And maybe underneath, I don't think we need 225,000 units, but it is a number that's been always bandied about. But you can see what's happening. We've got 40,000. That's the market today. And so most of my builders and friends, they're out of the business or they're in another business. Or like myself, I went from a 700-unit a year company to this year we'll probably build about 70 homes.
You know, getting back to the economists that deal with certain industries, and let's say that was a statement from an economist from the building industry that California needed to build 230,000 homes or something, when you yourself know you can't sell the 70,000 you've already built, I just think that that hurts credibility. I mean, and it must not feel good as an industry. And I think I wouldn't have liked, and I'm a broker. I didn't really like seeing the conclusions come out. And I'm not picking, but I think that the economists of these organizations owe more to their organization than that. Because if you're a realtor trying to map out your plan for how am I going to make money for my family, and you're told that this is all going to be fine, and you're farming people instead of farming lender on properties, you might not eat as well. So that's the struggle that I would have, is that if there's an agenda, that's the problem for me. Right now, for instance, I'd think it's a really good time to buy a property, even though I think the prices are going to go down. And it's because of the combination of interest rates and price that you get this silly payment that's possible. So I'm all for anybody saying, I think this is a reasonable period of time to buy. I would agree with that, especially in California. But I do think, because of what I showed on the board, that there's going to be a price decline. But my own opinion is most of the price decline will go to the as-is inventory, because you're not going to have a loan available to a home without a kitchen, and they're coming by the maybe thousands, okay? What really is detrimental to our market is when we don't get rewarded for the 35 grand repair. And right now, the appraisal business has this model that says, if you sell a house for 135 and you have a 35 grand repair bill, we don't have a line item that is acceptable. It's too big. And so our appraisal system, honestly, is a little broken right now because we're dealing with an all-time event. And every sale we have is an anomaly. Every one of them, because the neighborhood's full of 60 grand houses and the buyer wants ours at 130 because it's got a kitchen and it's got financing. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Who would put up 35 grand and say and get a 15 grand return for it and say, well, I'm going to sign up and do lots of these? You know, we got to get paid for that. And the customer is saying, we like your product. Here's a bunch of offers. And it feels like we have somebody over the top saying, Mr. Buyer, that's a bad decision. Let us protect you against what you have concluded. And it's hurting the market. And even further down the road, and you're in the banking world, if that neighborhood doesn't have that 120 comp, there are more foreclosures that occur. There's more mortgage default swaps that cash in those bets. And AIG owes another $100 billion of our dough, and it's not supposed to happen. But the appraisal world right now, it's kind of broke. And that's why I asked. I kind of asked who's in charge of that answer, because the answer doesn't make sense. Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to get in my rant here.
I agree with what you're saying. The appraisal process is broke. First of all, there is no magic number in appraising that an adjustment of some percentage can't be made. The general underlying rule is, if you're going to make a line item adjustment, if you're going to adjust for one thing and it's more than 10% of the sale price, you need to explain why you're doing that. I think I told you in the radio interviews and those sort of things. We were in that problem before when we came through our other housing crises. And when the market has, if it's been properly exposed in the market at a price, an offer comes in and you have multiple backup offers, I asked for a copy of those offers, put it with it, and I wrote my appraisals up, and I considered those in my valuation, even though I didn't have sales to do that. Unfortunately, it's the underwriters today that don't allow that to happen. It's really the appraisers are afraid of underwriters for some reason, that's a problem. And certainly they have rules, they have things they have to follow, but I think the market sets the price, and if you have six people willing to pay a price, that's probably a pretty good indication of what market is. And that's what I would suggest, that a competent person would come up with that conclusion.
I would agree. Yes, sir. We have about 10 minutes, and I'm going to have everyone have about 1 minute to answer this question, and then I'll let you go. What's the biggest problem the real estate market is facing, and what's the solution? And you'll probably have 1 minute apiece. But go ahead. Oh, no, no. We're going to start. No, no. We're going to start down here. All right. All right.
I think the biggest problem that real estate has, at least from my perspective, would be appraisal management companies that hire incompetent people, that they're not qualified, they don't have enough experience in the market. That results in faulty answers, which kills deals, and I think that's a big issue.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. Pat? Got double mic.
Sure. well, it's hard to say, I think. For me and for the realtors that I work with in the field out there, our biggest problem is getting some of the inventory out of the marketplace. The plethora of short sales that not one group of people know how to sell. And that marketplace, when you look at an MLS and you look at a search for a buyer, and that search has 75% of those houses that they want to look at, and they're all, say, subject to short sale, and 90% of the time they'll never close. I think that right now is the biggest trouble we've got on the marketplace, and I'm really looking forward to having someone answer the question of what the solution is, because that is a very, very tough thing for us. It's not the foreclosed houses. The foreclosed houses are easy because a bank owns them, and somebody can answer something as far as what's going on and if we bring them an offer. But right now, the number of short sales and the mindset of sellers that they can just say, well, I'm done, and I'm going for a short sale.
Okay.
I bet you're surprised at what I'm going to tell you. I think the problem, of course, I think we've all identified it. It's a tremendous volume of deteriorating empty homes. They need to be put into the hands of either the investor or the homeowner as quick as we can possibly put them there in a free market system, and I happen to think auctions do it very well.
Boy, that's a surprise. I agree. As a home builder for our market in Inland Empire, we need to get through this inventory fast as we can. And I wish I was smart enough to figure that all out. I think Bruce, earlier on one of his slides, talked about some of the ideas he had. Zero down, more investors, Freddie Fannie Mae, where you don't have to be restricted to 10 loans. We're going to need a multiple pronged effort to get through this inventory. And so as a home builder, I'd like to get through that inventory. So then there's some kind of equalization, and I can determine how many houses I could build and then make my business model go to that. And that's what I'd like to see.
Thank you.
I think economists are the biggest problem. it is the truth.
I get my go.
Actually, we've decided we're not going to let you have the microphone.
No, we're out of time. Sorry.
Is people who are making laws, whether it's state, because we're fighting for preemption. We'd like to have a set of national laws. But it's people making laws, Congress, who don't understand our business and who have never run a business and met a payroll.
I'm going to find a way to work the comment into this answer. I think the entire real estate ecosystem is out of balance. We have imbalances completely up and down basically every part of the food chain. Valuations are out of balance. We have less professional, less competent appraisers, and we probably shouldn't even call them appraisers. artificially screwing up the system by undervaluing properties they don't understand. We have, because of that, a freeze in the capital markets because the lenders are afraid to lend on properties that they can't trust the appraisals on. We have hundreds of thousands of homeowners, at least, who are upside down on their loans. And we have too much inventory for the market's ability to buy. So I think there's just imbalances across the entire ecosystem of the real estate market. And honestly, I'm not sure there is a one-size-fits-all answer. I think this is, you know, I'll give you a metaphor, Chris. I think this is one of those cases where the only way we're going to get rid of this elephant is one bite at a time.
Okay.
So you eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah. Now he's trying to think how he can use that when we're not here.
I was just trying to. It's a lot of elephant. You know, I don't. Everybody in this room understands that real estate is a boom bust phenomenon. Whether you're in the mortgage business, real estate business, the building business, when times are good, it's very good. When times are bad, it's very bad. 2001 to 2006 was a phenomenal time for the people in the industry, and as a result of that, they're suffering through one of the worst crashes. We're going to work through this, and things are going to improve again. That's a given. Now, from a longer-run perspective, what you're dealing with when it comes to housing is a mess of rules and regulations and programs and subsidies and taxes, that's insane. I mean, think about, you know, a couple things. For example, the local governments are constantly pushing all sorts of crazy taxes and assessments on builders, which drive up the price of homes. Suddenly, a constituency can't afford those homes. So then they turn around and try to subsidize the price of a home by having FHA mortgages and all sorts of stuff. You don't want a loan on a house to be like a normal loan, so what do? You make it a no-recourse loan. You just attach it just to the assets itself. But then suddenly, third-party appraisers are more important than what someone's willing to buy a home for. We keep trying to fix one problem, and we create other problems. We try to fix that problem, we create other problems. What really needs to happen is a massive deregulation of the whole thing from top to bottom. Clear the air and try to build a market that's going to work efficiently as opposed to allowing all these crazy regulations to sit in place. So.
Okay. I've got to say that I had very high expectations for this evening and they were exceeded. So I am very, very happy that we had this event. For my part, what I hope is that the investor will somehow find a way into what you talk about when, if you ever get in front of Congress and we have a chance to get more financing and so forth. I feel like the investor is usually that's the other person. And right now, we're a very important solution to this gigantic problem. And right now, our hands are being tied. So the more support we can give for each other, I think the better off will be. And the investor, if we're allowed to get financing, one of the key things is if we fix it and take it off the market, it doesn't return as for sale inventory. And that's real important. But if we can't get financing, we either have to leave it alone or we have to have enough cash to pay for it and keep it that way. And there's only so much cash we've got. So anyway, I want to thank all of you tonight, and I hope you experienced this as a very positive event. I really do. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009, 1M1 Properties, Appraisal Institute of Southern California, Awesome Limousines, Community Reinvest Group, Del May Properties, Elite Auctions, FarBelowMarket.com, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Meeting and Event Center, Mike Cantu, the Mortgage Equity Group, National Association of Real Estate Investors, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association,
Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, Realty Track, Saddleback Valley Communities, San Jose Real Estate Investor Association, Stars Photography, Tony Alvarez, and the Women's Council of Realtors Inland Valley Chapter.